Welcome to episode 171 of the Family Podcast Network. Man, that's sick!
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. With a master's degree in counseling psychology, and 6 years of showing parents how to de-stress their parenting, I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Our date for today is November the 12th, 2012. Our topic for today is a Gibson household case study, week of sickness in review. That's right. I love every so often to stop and do a little bit of these case reviews over my family. What do we use this week that worked? What do we use that didn't work? What did I run for the touchdown on as a daddy? And what did I drop the ball on, not get, totally mess up, and want to pass on the wisdom and knowledge? We're going to talk about that. I love doing these because they're an honest look at what goes on in my household. And I love being able to open that up. I love being able to connect with people, not only on getting it right as a parent. Doesn't it feel good when you get it right? But let's be honest. Let's also talk about when we don't get it right. What can we learn from that? What can we grow from it? So we're going to talk a little bit about this last week of mine, which was absolutely heavily laden with sickness in my family, passed from each and every kid all the way up to my wife, and to which last week I had to take several days off of work just to stay home and take care of babies because my wife was running fever and had the flu. So we'll get into talking about that real quick. Before we get into that, let's jump in to our housekeeping for today. First off, today's episode and podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Guys, I didn't get it at first. I had heard a lot about Audible from one of my favorite podcasts to listen to is This Week in Tech over Leo Laporte's website. He has several of them, including an iPad and the Mac one that I love to stay up on. And they've been talking about Audible over there for a while. So this week I decided to sit down and really go ahead and pull an Audible, take a look over there at Audible. And there was a free book download that I could use, and I downloaded it, and instantly I was hooked. You see, I love gaining information, and I love the information that I gain from reading, but I hate taking the time to stop and read books. I just don't like to do it. I don't like to take away from the other things that I could be doing, working on my website, playing with my kids, talking with my wife. I just don't like stopping to do that. But there's one time where I have tons of time to listen to books, and that's when I'm sitting in my car, driving to and from work, I've got nothing else to do, and frankly, I run out of podcasts really quick because I listen to so many of them so quickly. So, I thought, well, let's just check one of these out. My concern, Audible was only going to have just a few books that I wasn't really interested in, and let me tell you something, I was wrong. These guys have over 100,000 titles that you can choose from. You can put them on your iPhone. You can put them on your Android. You can put them on your Kindle or just your plain old MP3 player. Whatever you want, you can put them right on there. And let me tell you, it is awesome. I was able to find two of the main books that I was wanting to read that I just kept saying, I've got to read these books, and I didn't have time. One of them was Seth Godin. He wrote a book called Tribes. The other one was by a guy named Timothy Ferris. He wrote what's called The 4-Hour Work Week. And I've kept telling myself, I'm going to go read those books. I'm going to go read those books. And you know what? I haven't been able to do it because I keep finding something else to do it. Found Audible, downloaded those suckers onto my phone. They have an app that you can use for your iPhone. Downloaded both. They're actually, one of them is in the middle of downloading still, but I've been listening to the first half of it. And let me tell you, I am loving it. I'm listening to my book while I'm driving around or whatnot, or when I'm just sitting, you know, at a doctor's office, whatever else this last week. I've been able to sit down and get a book read out loud so I don't even have to have it sitting there in front of me. Absolutely flipping awesome. I love Audible, and I think that you will too. So guys, if you want to get a free audiobook, I've worked with Audible and we've worked this out. All you got to do is go to www.audibletrial.com/ Family Podcast, and you will get a free audiobook download just to test it, see if you like it. Go check it out. Audible has blown me away. I highly recommend it, especially if you've been telling yourself, man, I've got to read these books. I want to get this info in. You know, I really wanted to get that read, but you just think, man, I don't have time to stop and do it. Audible.com makes it possible. Again, go to www.audibletrial.com/familypodcast. Get a free audio book. It's going to be awesome. All right, up next, guys. If you want to get updates on episodes, hey, what's going on over at Trey's website? What's been happening? You know, what did Trey talk about this week? We knock out a lot of podcasts in a week. I do that because I want you guys to have lots of really good information out there. And the only way for me to do that is to knock them out as quickly as possible. But I understand that sometimes it puts you guys in the position you're like, what the heck, man? I don't even know what he talked about this week. What? And then you miss something, and then you come back, and you're like, oh, dang it. If I had just paid attention that that's what he talked about, I wouldn't have missed that episode, and I could have used it all this week. I've set it up to where you don't have to worry about that. If you sign up for our email episode notifications, put your name and email address in, boom, you're going to get an email of what we talked about, what the subject is, etc. Completely free. I hate spamming, so I will never give or sell your email address to anybody else ever. So, guys, make sure you're not missing out on those episodes that you want to catch. Next off, guys, like us on Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, all that other good stuff. We want to connect with you wherever you are. I want to be talking with you guys, too. If you guys will, jump on there. I'm always looking to add more people that I'm visiting with. I answer every single email that I get because I care about you guys. I want to get back with you. I want to get you that information. Guys, also go check out the blog, www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog, where my wife has been putting up fantastic articles on parenting, her side of it, of the two sides, right? Any kind of marriage that there's two sides to every coin in parenting as well. You want to go check her out and see what she thinks, what she believes, and her perspective. Because in reality, she's kind of my man on the ground. I mean, when you think about it, she's the one who stays home with the kids all day. So great information that you want to check out. Also, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. It costs money to keep this website running. And if you'd like to be a part of keeping this up, if you're like, man, I want to be an integral part of making sure that we keep this going, you can become a PTAC member, Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's just a funny little way of saying support the show. $3 per episode. If you feel like you're getting something from this and you're like, I want Trey to get paid for that. I want him to get hooked up for that, for all the free stuff that he gets out. We want to be able to set that up. Thank you guys so much in advance. And thanks to all the people who have already supported the show. You guys rock, man. I'm telling you, I know it sounds funny. Outside of the financial part that I want this business to be successful, it just feels good whenever you get that back from somebody. Even just the smallest donations that we've had, like $5, really makes a huge difference. Guys, also, if you want to contact me, Trey, I've got questions. I'd love to get this on the air. I'd love to hear an answer to this question. Is my kid flipping crazy? That kind of stuff. I want to answer that, and you guys can do it. You can email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. Again, that's my first name, last name, TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You guys can also send me internet voicemail. If you've got a microphone connected to your computer, then all you got to do is go to TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com, and over on the right where it says Ask Trey a Question, click on that and then record a message. It sends to me in an email, and we will get that answered for you on the air. And then last, if you guys want to call me by phone, if you're out driving, you don't have time to stop and take the time to get on the internet, or you forget by the time you get home, call me at 661-PARENT-0. That's right. You can just pick up your phone and dial 661-PARENT-0. And when you do that, it will put you into a voicemail, and it'll leave me a message on a machine, and I will automatically add that into one of our next episodes. So you can do that again, 661-PARENT-0. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way, I'm going to jump into kind of just a short little case study again of this weekend. I'm not going to keep this very long. Let me be honest. It's not because I'm trying to keep it short for you today, which often I am whenever I keep short episodes. I'm going to be straight with you guys. My wife, and it started with my kids last week. One of my kids got sick, then passed to the next kid, and then it passed to the next kid, and then my wife got it. So for about the last week and a half, I've been dealing with kiddos coughing and wives coughing, and I am flipping wiped out. And honest to goodness, it's about 1:30 a.m. on Monday morning. The reason I'm here recording is because of a wonderful little chemical product called Mountain Dew. If it wasn't for doing the dew before I got on here, I would probably be drooling on a microphone. It's been such a long week, and especially this weekend was real bad because I had it especially bad with the kiddos. But we'll get into that just a little bit more here in a minute. So I wanted to do just kind of a Gibson household case study. We had a lot of sickness in our household, and because of that, I found that I learned some pretty unique perspectives. We've never had this much sickness back-to-back before. We've never really had the flu run through our house quite so prevalently, and then also, we went to the doctor, and the doctor just called it, and I quote, a funky virus. And so we had the flu and this funky virus running around our household for the last 2 weeks. So anyway, it's just been kind of rough. So anyway, this all started about 2 weeks ago. My daughter Anna picked up this weird little thing where she started running a fever, and then she started, coughing, and then she started kind of really getting hacky and croupy coughing, and just overall was feeling crummy and sore throat. And so we took her into the doctor, and doctor took a look at her and said, it's this funky virus. Those were his verbatim words, is a funky virus. He couldn't really identify it. It wasn't strep or anything like that. And so, we just kind of let it go. We let her ride her course. She got out of it. Well, then, right at the end of it, she got laryngitis. They got that classic laryngitis. Well, then about the time she was getting over that, all of a sudden, my son Grant started having the same exact symptoms. So we were hoping, beyond all hope, that this was not the same thing. But guess what? Same exact thing. He went through the same exact symptoms. We kicked him through it, and really, they went through it pretty fast comparatively. Well, anyway, last Tuesday, I'm sitting at work, and I get a phone call, and my wife said, Trey, I'm running a fever. I'm feeling horrible. Can you come home? So I worked it out with just my fantastic boss, and she said, absolutely, go home. We'll get you squared away here. I went home, and my wife was running like a 103-degree fever. And I noticed my daughter was acting funny. So I finally checked her temperature later that day, and guess what? She had one, just like Mama did. So progressively, the Wednesday morning came, and it was one of those things that, could I have gone to work? Yeah, my wife is just a tough cookie. She'd have done just fine if I'd have gone to work. But I asked her, I said, do you want me to stay home, babe? And she said, please. So I stayed home Wednesday, and then I stayed home Thursday. And then again on Friday, she was almost getting better-ish. But it was just one of those things that it was like, if you can, visit it with my work. And they said, yeah, you just take care of your family, get them healed up, and then we'll see you when you can. So we took all those days off, and then it went through Saturday, and then until today, or yesterday, I guess. But theoretically for me, it's still Sunday. It went all the way through these days, and that's just, it's just been really messing with my family. Like one of those things where, like when my daughter, Cora, would cough, she would cough and then start crying from the pain. Honest to goodness, my wife is one of the most, like, physically she's desensitized compared to most people. I mean, she handles pain better than most people. I mean, she's just a tough cookie. And even when she was coughing, she would get teary-eyed because the pain of the sore throat was just so bad. She said, Trey, it feels like I'm drinking acid with razor blades in it. And so this was a pretty nasty little fart. And anyway, We just kind of went through that through this whole week. And so, I realized that I learned some pretty valuable lessons and some really good ones, some really neat things that I saw come out of all this. And I mean, you say, oh, Trey, you're talking about neat things coming out of sickness? In reality, yeah, there were some pretty cool things that came out of all this. And we're going to talk a little bit about those today, and we're going to wrap it up on some of the not-so-good things that I learned over this weekend of sickness and whatnot, and some of the frustrations and the tempers that flared. I say tempers that flared. I mean, on a scale of what most people would call it, for us, it's, for them, it's kind of, oh, whoopee-doo, Trey, that's not a big deal. But in the Gibson household, it can be a pretty big deal. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So first off, let's jump into what did I learn? What are the good things that I learned throughout this? Number one, I learned again, and I didn't need reinforcement in this, but it's always nice whenever you have these kinds of things that back up what you believe. It was another reminder that men can be nurturers. We live in kind of a society that pushes that, men are the breadwinners and women are the nurturers, right, in parenting, and I think that's the biggest lie that we've been fed. Now, I don't have a problem with the traditional work reviews, where men go to work and women stay home. I mean, we practice that here. I give my wife full discretion. If she ever wanted to go work, the lady's smarter than me, and honest to God, I really think she could make us more money if she wanted to, but she desired to stay home, so we set that up, and we made that happen so that way it could. And so I have no problems with traditional views of work or anything like that. But that's typically what we think of is that, you know, the men are the breadwinners, the go-getters. Maybe we're the somewhat rough and tumble, but we're not the nurturers. And it was a reminder again that we can be the nurturers. When I first came home Tuesday, Cora was feeling bad. And, of course, who does she want to be comforted by? Well, the main person in her life is always her mom because mom's with her all day long. And I don't get home until later in the evenings, and then I play with them, right? And so, you know, normally my wife Corey, is the primary nurturer. And it was neat that as, you know, it was Wednesday and Thursday rolled around, eventually whenever my daughter was hurting, guess who she wanted? She wanted daddy. She wanted daddy. And that didn't mean she stopped wanting mom altogether, but it was kind of a good thing because, you know, my wife needed a little bit of a break, and especially not feeling good herself. It was a really good experience. And so it was just a reminder that men absolutely can be the nurturers. We can be the boo-boo kissers, and we can be the one that comforts them whenever they're hurting. And I think for us men to remember, one of the things that's important to keep in mind is that we've got to be willing and ready to be a little bit sensitive with our kids. I mean, I noticed that I kind of fight a general propensity that, you know, when my kids come in and they're, oh, I'm hurting, you know, I'm just like, suck it up. You know, I mean, that's kind of the natural thing that goes to my head. But really, I pushed myself to be, oh, I am so sorry you're not feeling good, baby girl. Yeah, oh, gosh, I know. Sore throats stink, man. I hate that, too. I bet that really does hurt. You know, I really forced myself to practice that. And it was neat to watch her go from, you know, every time she coughs, she, mom, 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 to turning it into dad, dad, dad. And I'll be honest, it was a little annoying, you know, especially when I'm trying to juggle all the kids and an infant who's fussing and crying and you know, a house that looks like crap because I'm trying to get it re-cleaned back up and having her come in. You know, sometimes it's an act of will to stop myself and to really focus in on her and say, oh, I'm so sorry, baby. I know sore throats sting. You know, I know sore throats sting. But you know, one of the things I've learned is that when you don't do that, or let me rephrase that. When I don't do that is when I seem to regret it. Like earlier this week, and I kind of had one of those lessons, not about her feeling sick, but she was out running around, my little daughter Cora, and she was out running around. She's two. And she just started coming up to me, just kind of, it seems like she was whining. And I'm a pretty strict no whine guy. I mean, I don't mind if you're upset, if you're disappointed. I don't mind genuine, authentic crying. I mean, I'm okay with that. But whining just doesn't flow well with me. And it sounded like she was kind of doing that. And finally, we sat her down and took a look. And it sure enough, this kiddo had a thorn stuck in her foot. I mean, I'm not talking like a splinter. I'm talking a thorn stuck in her foot. And I've just learned that any time that I just write my kids off, when they say something is hurting, I often feel like a huge butt. So I really focused this week or the last week and a half on really making sure to affirm and watch out for that and be sensitive and be gentle to those kinds of things. And it really did pay off. I learned throughout all this that you really can build relationships with your kids during the middle of sicknesses. You know, it was a great time to really spend time cuddling with my kids and helping them wind down and not be running around when they're sick by, you know, laying down, reading books to them. We kind of just started that over the last week or two now. We've really reemphasized, you know, I was talking about Audible up here at the start, that the reason we're kind of pushing that in our family as well is so that I'm really trying to re-engender reading books. I read an article the other day that shows that it's very, very beneficial for kids to still read books, to get new information put in. And so, you know, I've started kind of the upcoming 2013 year, I plan on learning like 13 new skills in the year 2013. And the purpose for that is just to stretch myself and engage myself. And one of the things that I want to do out of that, I want to read more and I want to read to my kids more. And so this was such a great time to build some relationship when we couldn't be out running around and roughhousing and rough and tumble play. It really did force us to kind of, you know, slow things down just a little bit while they were sick. Another thing that it taught me that was good, it taught it was a great time to teach my other kids to be sensitive to the kiddos that were sick. You know, I mean, I think kids have a natural tendency to take care of themselves, to take care of whatever they need to get their own, right? I got to get me mine kind of mentality. I think that's pretty natural in kids. They're very egocentric, very self-centered and self-focused. And I don't mean that in the deliberate, huh, I'm going to take care of myself and screw everybody else. I don't mean it like that. But they just kind of naturally have a tendency to watch out for themselves. And so I think that was kind of what was going on And anyway, it was a great time to whenever my daughter Anna was feeling better and she was going around and bebopping, and her little sister Cora just came up and just wanted to curl up in her lap. And it was just really frustrating my daughter because she was trying to read a book and Cora kept trying to get in her lap. And it was a great time just to sit down and say, "You remember how you felt a week ago?" "Yeah, yeah, I do, Dad." "Do you remember how you wanted to be in Daddy's lap so bad?" She's like, "Yeah, yeah, I do." Maybe that's what she's feeling, you know, and just getting her thinking about stuff like that. And it was neat to watch my daughter's mentality shift from, you know, just kind of trying to push her away, moving towards when she would come up and try to crawl on her lap, she might say, "No, no, Corey, you need to sit right here." And she'd teach her where to sit, and then she'd just put her arm around her while she was reading. Just cute little stuff like that. And it was amazing how such a crappy situation, feeling sick, feeling bad, you know, having a hard time breathing and coughing and all that other stuff, you know, my daughter, who's trying to work on things, was willing to stop and accommodate for her. And it was a neat thing to see that working. It was also kind of fun to see just how this could be kind of a true test of patience. I mean, in reality, kids that are sick can be very difficult, especially one as young as my 2-year-old who really struggles to communicate in a lot of things, at least not to the fullest extent that, like, even my 4- and 6-year-old or even an adult. And so it was kind of neat to see, you know, that ability to test your patience, and it was good. And I'll be honest, I did really great with some things, and then I totally dropped the ball, and we'll talk about those here in just a second. But, you know, it was a good test of my patience to see how well could I handle, what could I take. I believe you really can't see the truest form of a person's character until you give them some pressure, until you give them some difficulties and some struggles, and that's when you really see what's inside come out. And so it's really good because for me, it allowed me to kind of refine some of my bad habits that I've gleaned, you know, and it was a good time to really take those and refine them and work on growing those and basically being more sensitive to my kids. And so it was a great experience, despite that it was taxing. It really was difficult. I am glad we had it. Okay, so let's move on to the last part of this, and that's, you know, what were some of the things I dropped the ball with over the week and the weekend with this. Number one, one of the things I noticed was that I caught myself kind of neglecting the non-sick ones. Though, you know, Cora being sick was kind of getting all of the attention. And I noticed that my son would start to go, "Oh, Dad, my stomach's hurting," you know? And we're really working on him right now with honesty. And we're really reinforcing honesty whenever he gives it to us. And so, you know, I said, "Buddy, are you really feeling, you know, like your stomach's hurting?" He said, "No, Dad, I'm not telling you the truth. My stomach really doesn't hurt." And we were able to talk about, you know, tell me what's got you doing that. What made you think that you needed to do that? And he basically just wasn't feeling like he was getting enough time spent with him, and that, you know, and he's right. Cora was getting way more attention being sick than he was. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that she didn't deserve or need that attention. I think she did. As a sick little baby, I think she really did need that attention. But I caught myself again focusing too much on the sick one and not spending enough time with the non-sick ones. And so that was one of the things that I plan on doing, you know, in the future with that is making sure that for every minute that I allot for baby, I also spend that same amount of time allotting some time for healthy kids. And one of the ways, after we had that talk, that we rectified that, took him to the park this week. You know, funny enough, we had to drop my wife off at the doctor, and just took the other ones to the park and let them go run around for a little bit and played with them out there. And so that was another big piece of it. So that was one of the number one things I noticed, was neglecting my healthy babies. Next off, I found myself too tired. I found myself really tired because, frankly, I mean, we've been staying up, I mean, really, really late because we've had babies like Cora with her coughing fits had to crawl in bed with us, and then she'd stay up coughing, and she's never a snuggle bug up until she feels bad. And, of course, Daddy's been nurturer, and so guess what happened? She wanted to sleep right in Daddy's arm the whole time. And so it just got difficult. And then she'd flip and she'd writhe because she was hurting in her mouth, and she'd cough herself awake and hit me in the nose, go ninja on my face. And so overall, it was just a rough experience. And so I didn't sleep a whole lot. I was awake a lot. And I was up checking on babies who were crying because they were coughing, and getting my wife meds whenever she needed them because she was feeling so horrible. So anyway, I didn't get a whole lot of sleep. And so what I found myself more willing to do was to put my desires first before my kids. And so I would go and I would work and I would do all these things and I'd work on dishes. And I'd just be exhausted, and the kids would say, "Dad, can you come play with us?" So this kind of doubles us back to the number one. I caught myself neglecting my non-sick ones. Again, going back to being so tired and then putting my desires first. Now, when I say this, am I insinuating that you always put yourself first and you burn all the gas out of your tank? No. You got to take good care of yourself. You got to take time. But the fact of the matter was, my wife was sick. My little girl was sick. I was staying up late at night. And there was nothing that I could do to make that change. And my kids still needed my attention. Anna and Grant still wanted to play on the trampoline. They still wanted to run around and play tag. They still want to play this game called Oscar's Oasis. And so it was a reminder that I've got to watch it whenever I get tired, because it's really easy for me to start classifying my own desire for sleep or a little bit of rest higher than what my kids are needing. And so, again, I'm not trying to turn this into some unhealthy, codependent kind of, you know, you just never factor in your own needs. You only give of other people. But, you know, one of the things we talk about here that I believe so firmly in as a person is the idea of good, strong leadership. And good, strong leadership is the kind of leadership where you always are giving up your needs for the needs of the people who are underneath you. And, I think that is a fundamental truth and reality to parenting. You know, it always fascinates me how many people want to command their kids to go do things and have them go do things, but none of them want to lead. None of them want to build respect with their kids. And so one of the things I noticed was that I was willing to sacrifice that belief system, that belief that, you know, it's got to be my kiddo's desires and needs first before mine. And I wasn't willing to do that. And so, anyway, it was one of the things that taught me is how easy it is, even though that's so important to me, how easy that is sometimes to give up on when you haven't thought these things through and the going gets tough. So, anyway, that was one of the things I learned there. Some of the other bads, I noticed that I did start to get snappy. I probably would relate that back to number two there. I was just too tired. And so my desire to snap and feel good about the little snappiness probably kind of outweighed the being respectful piece of it. But I did notice I was a little more snappy. My kids noticed it too. Luckily, because I've spent so much time teaching my kids to be very empathic, even my daughter goes, "Dad, it's just because you're tired, isn't it?" Sounds funny, but it was actually pretty accurate. And yes, the answer to it was yes. But, you know, is that what I want my kids learning? Do I want my kids learning that, well, it's okay to be snappy because you're tired? You know what? No, it really isn't. And the last thing that I really picked up to, again, out of this case study over this weekend of sick, is that, and I mean, this may sound like I'm trying to be silly or cute or something, but, man, it really sucks to see your babies hurting. I mean, it really sucks. I remember watching Cora just last night even. She was just coughing, and after every cough, she'd start crying because the pain from the sore throat was just so bad. And then we're talking, this is medicated. The doc gave her some codeine, and we had her on ibuprofen to try to help trim the pain and the pine. I'm from Texas, guys, in case y'all couldn't tell. But to try to trim the pain, and I mean, it was special. And I just learned that it is horrible to see your kiddos in that state. And man, I tell you, there's just a few things I wouldn't do to take that from them. So anyway, that was kind of my look at the overall weekend. Bottom line, how do I feel like I did this weekend? I think I walked out of it with a wife who, if she was awake still, she's in an unconscious coma right now because she's so tired. But I think if she came in here, she would say, "Man, best husband ever." And I think my kids would too. And, you know, so overall, I think we made it through it. I think I did some really great things. I think I did some things to really stink it up. Luckily, I spent a lot of time being empathic and teaching my kids to be empathic. And so I think they cut me a lot of grace this weekend. But it was a very interesting experience getting to have the opportunity to do these. Remember, this is also about kind of adjusting our mindset to adversity here. And so that's a lot of what you're hearing here as well, is learning how to find the good even in the middle of crap, and how beneficial and even in some cases the most beneficial that you can have. So anyway, pretty interesting week. It was a great thing. I almost talked myself out of doing this one, but I thought, man, it's fresh, it's real, and I think it's good. So if you guys have any questions or comments about this, I'd love to hear about y'all's experiences with sick family as well. And I'm always looking for hints and ideas what we can do whenever folks get sick in the household. And I know there's some other folks out there that could use your ideas as well. So feel free to jump on. You can always get on thefamilypodcastnetwork.com and go to the live fire down at the bottom where you can comment on each individual post that we put up there. Also, Facebook has been a pretty hot deal for us, and lots of conversation going on at Facebook. You can always go over there, like us, and don't forget to go add us to your interest list, because if you don't, you will probably not be getting my updates nearly as much as they come out. And thanks to Facebook's new system, unless I pay to promote it, only about 1 out of every 10 person is going to be getting my stuff. So go over there, check that out, make sure to add this to your lists. Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Man, I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you guys avoid the sickness like we did not. I hope you guys stay out of that. I hope you'll stay healthy, good for the rest of the winter through Christmas, and take care of yourselves. Guys, we will see you guys on Wednesday.